theme for June, building our identity. And we're doing that because we can really build our identity really from a lot of different things. What we do, or and even from what we have. You know, someone who's very creative might say, I am an artist, and everything about them, you know, I'm an artist, and that's so important to them. It's a part of who they are. Or I'm a teacher, an engineer, or whatever is it might you might be, that becomes your identity. You wear that. And everything about you, it's important to you. You want to let other people know about that. Or it might be what you have. Maybe, you know, you have lots of money, and that's very important about who you are in this world. But what happens when these things change or can't actually, you know, continue anymore? What happens to our sense of identity at that point? And interestingly too, you know, in recent times, as we're all aware, and it's quite unprecedented, humans, especially in the Western world, have decided that they can choose their identity, biological identity, which is really unusual for, throughout history. It's never happened before. And I guess with that, you know, might wonder how do you actually decide that, you know, what you're going to be, or what if you change your mind, you know, how does that impact your identity? But in Scripture, we can see that God has already determined our identity, and all we need to do is to believe what God has done for us and receive it. God has made all humanity to flourish, and the identity he gives us wonderfully brings this to life in us, brings true life to us. And so that's why and what we're going to be exploring each Sunday this month. And today we're going to be looking at I am made in the image of God as part of our identity. And so with that, image, interesting word, what does that mean? What do images communicate? Here are some images. And we know that when we look at an image, it's actually not the person or the thing themselves. Thankfully, when you see a big prawn, you're really happy that that's not the real thing. I wouldn't want that coming to life. But we've got a few things up there. You've got the Statue of Liberty, and that's when people look at that, they say that's a symbol of freedom, celebrating the first 100 years of their democracy in the United States. And they're having a few problems there today. But, you know, it's something for them to remember. The image tells us something and reminds us of something. We've got the cricketer up there, Shane Warne. He was a bit of an Australian, I guess a bit of a rascal in some way, a bit of the Australian spirit. But we remember and remind of his great sporting excellence and his contribution to Australian cricket. The big prawns in Ballina to celebrate their local prawning industry. We've got a big fat ram there. That's in Goulburn to really remind the residents and everyone coming through how proud they are that they're the fine wool capital of the world. That's what it's meant to encourage us. And some significant, I guess, historical figures for Australia. We've got Captain James Cook, and he was, you know, part of the European lot that came out that, you know, most of us, well, some of us probably have descended from. But he mapped the eastern coast of Australia, which was very significant, and Mount Rushmore in America. And that has the heads of four presidents there, again, celebrating the first 150 years of American history. So when we look at these things, they're meant to communicate something to us. What do you communicate? When someone sees you, what do you communicate? What image do you communicate? Social media platforms cause us to respond to this question constantly in terms of what we're going to post or how we're going to do it. You know, what image are we going to reflect? How do you respond? What's your image? some people can be a bit undecided. And this, obviously, this image focuses on the outside of us, doesn't it? And we're a lot more, you're a lot more than what we see on the outside. Our actions and our words also let people know what we really want to communicate, what our image is and what's important to us. We might see someone that looks lovely and then when they open their mouths and what comes out, oh, it's a lot different. It could be very negative or criticising. And I remember back when I was a teenager, I guess it's a bit in reverse, I had pimples. You know, have you ever had that? It's just, things on my face that you just couldn't get rid of. And I was going to go out to this party. And I remember thinking, ooh, I don't look so great. And I was trying to, put as much makeup on as possible. Sometimes when we're struggling with our identity, it can really isolate us too, because we'll think, oh, I'm not good enough. And we might not want to mix with people. It can limit us, limit our connections, limit who we really are, because we kind of want to hide. And I don't know what came over me, but I decided, I want to go to this party. I want to enjoy myself. I am not going to let this pimple stop me. So I thought, I'm going to let what's inside of me shine out. I thought, oh, such deep thoughts for such a young woman. I don't know where it came from, but anyway. So anyway, I thought, I'm going to enjoy these people. So I went to that party and I thought, I'm just going to go and connect and enjoy the people. And I remember having a great time, laughing. And I, after the party, I realised that I don't think I've even thought twice about my pimples. I don't think anyone else did either. What we do and who we are on the inside is even more impacting than what we show on the outside. And as we look back at Scripture again, it tells us quite clearly that we are made in God's image. So in Genesis 1:26-27, then God said, "Let us make man in our image." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. How amazing. Wow. God is all that is perfectly good. God is love and life-giving, perfect, joyous, complete, reigns over, rules over everything. You and I are made in God's image. Are we to be like God? What would that look like? What does it mean? What does it mean to be made in God's image? Well, Paul fleshes this out for us a bit in Colossians and Ephesians. And in Colossians 3:10, he writes, "Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of the Creator." And Ephesians 4:24, "Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So Paul is confirming for us that indeed we are made in the image of God, to be like God, created to be like God. And from these verses we can see that our imaging of God is a process of renewal. The first one, put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge. And so it's accomplished by us actually knowing God, not just here in our mind, understanding who God is, but also an experience. That's what ancient times thought about what it meant to know. It's an experience as well. It's a relational experience of God. And Paul also mentions, in terms of imaging God, that it means righteousness and holiness. So from these two verses, we can see that to be made in God's image, if we just look at those two verses, are three things. to know God, to be in relationship, to know about, to really know God, to be holy, like God, to be pure, to be set apart, to live for Him, and to act righteously, to be right in our relationship with God, with others, in our actions, in our attitudes. So Genesis states that all humanity was created in God's image to reflect His image. Yet God is spirit. So how do we do that? So His image is not something actually physical. His image is actually meaning His essence, who God really is, the core of who God is. And the scripture describes this as glory. So we are made for God's glory, to radiate God's greatness. That's what it means, to be like God. And that was God's original and lasting intent. So we can see in 2 Corinthians 3:18, the next there, the slide with the little picture in it, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. So in this picture, I just thought it might be interesting if we, you know, pictures and analogies only go so far. So don't take it too far because you might end up somewhere else. But if we just imagine that we are the mirror, then it's as we behold the glory of God, that as we behold who God is, that as a mirror then we reflect out into the world, to everyone around us, the glory of God, the image of God to everyone else. So we no longer, so that's the perfect way. That's what God has intended for us. But then sin has come into the picture, hasn't it? And sin came in and brought distortion. And Paul wrote to the church in Rome, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God intended us to live in His glory, but sin entered right at the beginning. And flowing on from that, now all of Adam's descendants and Eve's descendants, us, have sin in our nature and in our DNA. We all inherited the sinful nature. We have no control over that. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So Satan's always leading us into more deception, more sin, so we can't see God. And so we see in the next image then that as we are the mirror, sin has come in. We can no longer see the God who's always present. And therefore we can't reflect Him. We only reflect ourselves. And we only see ourselves and prioritise ourselves and love ourselves. But sin, even though it has come to distort our image, it doesn't totally destroy the image of God in humanity. We can see further on from Genesis, where we see how sin entered in, that later on, after the flood with Noah and his sons, God talks to them and tells them about how to live. And God says, whoever sheds the blood of man by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, God has made man. So humans, God still recognises that humanity images who He is, and that's what humanity has been made for. So with that, there are some remnants, even if we are in sin, that we do reflect some remnants of God's good image. You know, we see that, don't we? You know, humans can be very noble, do amazing things. People that don't know God can do wonderful things. They can do wonderful selfless acts, help other people and serve others. But even so, even how good they are, they can never reach their former glory that God intended. Humans can't not sin because it's in our nature. We've inherited that. When we look at humanity, humans are a great contradiction, aren't they? They can do wonderfully noble things and terribly wicked things too. Humans can appear wonderfully glorious, but then terribly fallen. So with all this, our only hope in all of this is Jesus. And as we look at that 2 Corinthians verse again a bit more, 2 Corinthians 4:4, we see that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So it's Jesus is the true image of God. And so Jesus has all that we need to be. God's image and glory. So all we need to do then is to repent, to totally turn from sinful ways, from our life in the kingdom of darkness, and believe in the risen Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he comes and lives inside of us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we get to carry his presence in his image. Amazing. It's good to ask the question too, why is it that we are made to image God? All of creation gets to show the glory of God, and we're made in God's image so that we can communicate too something of God to all creation and to others. It's something like those statues that we looked at the beginning. We reflect God's image or his essence and glory. And we do that so that when people look at believers, they get to see some of who God is. And so that when God reaches into their life and makes connection with them, they recognize God. Oh, I've seen some of God before. I know what that felt like before, and wow, thank you, Lord. I know who you are because that person has seen it in someone else and what they've done. We actually get to help other people with their transition and getting to know God because they get to see something of God in us. And I remember, I think we were living in Sydney, To and I, and we were in a house. The former people that lived there, we got to know them as well. And anyway, they weren't Christians, but they were just a lovely couple and making some connections. Anyway, I was in their house, so I had a lovely connection with the wife and the husband came home. And there was just a lovely warmth about, our conversation and connection. And sometime later, I was driving in the car with the wife, and she said to me, "Oh, my husband, he said there's something about you that he really likes." And I know that was all innocent. I said it's because he can see Jesus in me. I thought I'll blurt that out. Why not? Because she needs to know about Jesus. But I thought, I know that's you know, Jesus is present with us as we connect with other people. His warmth and his love, that what we get to experience, we get to give to others. And so we all get to do that constantly. So if we are God's image in this world, how can we do it well? How can we reflect God's image well? Well, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So that verse is telling us we are in a process of renewal. Great. But how can we grow in this? How can we get better at it? Well, Paul also reminds the churches constantly, and we're going to look at something in Ephesus in a minute, that to let them know, to remember, you've been changed by Jesus. You know, you need to remember it and partner with what God has done in your life. Cooperate with that so that you can be your true self. That's what God wants us to be, our true selves. When we're that person, life is so much better. It's full and satisfying. It's full of peace and a joy that we have despite our circumstances. You know, Paul is saying, live how you were made for. And so there's a long passage in Ephesians 4:17 to 5:21. I'm not going to read it all, but I really encourage you to have a look at it and meditate on it, because there's a lot of instructions, and I really love that. You know, God doesn't leave us helpless and trying to work it all out, but really makes things clear. I think sometimes as Christians, or even as people looking into the Christian faith, they go, oh, Christianity, it's all about do's and don'ts, you know. But, you know, we're going to look at a list of things that, you know, Paul is saying, you know, if you want to image God, don't do that. Do this. So it is, yeah, do's and don'ts. But it's because we actually need help. You know, we can't always figure this stuff out. And God wants us so much to be our true selves, for us to really be flourishing. And so it's really great for us to take heed of these things, and so that God's transforming work can continue. So it's important then that we really be self-aware. What is my life like? And daily commit to being the new you. So in Ephesians 4:22, he's talking to Christians here, okay? He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Okay, you've got an old self. Don't wear that stuff, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And we do that by knowing God more, being in relationship with God, because we become what we behold. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So again, we are created to be like God. And then he fleshes that out and gives us some indicators and helpful reminders, but he does it in many letters. So Paul is wonderful in doing that. So he gives us some ideas of what not to partner with. And I would just say too, you know, it's good to remind ourselves. I know that you know, when you're in a job, like I was a nurse for many years, you know, every year you have annual renewals to learn about safety, to learn about, you know, if there's a fire, how you get out of the building. At Table, every year they have so many trainings to do every year. I'm sure other people experience that. And why is that? Because our brains are like sieves, you know, we forget. And so Paul is here constantly reminding Christians how to live, how not to live, because we need reminding. So there's going to be two lists. So the first list is what we don't do. We don't lie or misrepresent yourself. Be true to others. Show them who you really are. Don't let your emotions rule you. It talks a lot about, you know, anger. Don't let anger get so a hold of you that you don't have control. And it says actually Satan can come in, get a foothold and have a negative influence in your life. So be aware. Again, be very self-aware. What's going on with you? Don't steal. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, it's got that in there, and it's really, you know, all these things are about how we relate with other people. You know, God is really concerned about our relationships, saying treat others well. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger. You know, don't be argumentative along with every form of malice. This thinking nastily about other people. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed. So, you know, no coarse joking, no little bits of hints of anything, you know. You know, do your desires, we all have desires, do they rule you? Your desire for money, for sex, for food. He wants us to think about that. Nor should there be any obscene talking. You know, how do we use our words? Foolish talking, coarse joking. You know, what? Let's watch our words. What is coming out of your mouth? And don't get drunk on wine or drugs or whatever it might be, which leads to debauchery, basically loss of control. Don't put yourself in a situation where you don't have control. So it's helpful for all of us to think, you know, do I have any of these? Do I have a tendency towards them? You know, let's be honest with God. And as we things come to mind, think, oh, sorry, God. You know, just be honest with God. Receive his forgiveness afresh, because his forgiveness, we have that already. But there are times when we need to really recognise and ask and be sorry, so that we're allowing God to come in with his restorative work again. Ask for help from the Spirit, from the Scripture, which will build us up. Other Christians that we can journey with prayer and support. And let's image God well, because the lost in this world are depending on us. So they're things to think about. Our next list is what we can do, or what we can do that will help to image God. So another list to ponder and meditate on and to be reminded of. What do we do with our words? So speak truthfully. Use our words wisely to build others up according to their needs, not your own, not what you think they should be hearing. But hear them, hear their heart. What are wise and good words to build them up? Our words should be full of thanksgiving. Not always seeing the negative side, but thanksgiving. Great to wake up every morning and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the new day. It's great to practice doing that. It just sort of sets your tone. Whatever you can find to be thankful for, it's great to speak it out, because you're speaking to yourself as well. Be useful to others. Earn your way, be generous with what you have to help those in need. How about relationships? Relate well. Let's be kind in how we go about ourselves. Compassionate. Be forgiving, knowing that, you know, Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Let's imitate God as dearly loved children. So imitate and image God, and it comes from knowing who we really are, that we are his kids. Live a life that's dominated by love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And that our life would consist of good fruit, of goodness, of righteousness, of truth. And to keep seeking, what is the Lord's will? What does God want for me? And we know a lot of that just by reading Scripture. Find out what pleases the Lord. Not pleasing yourself, but Lord, I really want to do this. We had a young adults night last night about really working out, you know, what does my future really look like? How do I know my purpose? Well, we know as we grow in our relationship with God, as we read his word, as we are part of his body, find out what pleases God. Be filled with the Spirit. And that's a continual filling. There's always more of God for us to experience and to know. And let's encourage each other in worshipping God. Be thankful to God for everything. And I like this one too, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it's good for us to really have spiritual ears open. What is God saying in and through others that we might respond to that? And with that too, to not think that you on your own know it all the time. You might know some stuff sometimes, but let's be humble. We really need each other. That's how God has designed us, to be his church and to be his family. So my encouragement today is let's lean into this list of things. Ponder and meditate on it so that others will see God in us by showing them who we are by what we do and what we say and how we live our lives. Can I invite us all to stand as I pray and I just ask the worship team to come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your good presence with us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for your goodness. That, Lord, as we experience you, Lord, then we know what it is to live in that. Lord, would you remind us today to help us to be still with you, to be self-aware, to know what's really going on in our minds, in our hearts, and to be really aware of you there with us, that you are always strongly present 24/7 with us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you that you have bought us with a price that we can be, so that we can be our true selves, Lord God, that you've bought us with the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for Holy Spirit, that you are with us and as new creations in you, Lord, that we actually have the power to choose, Lord. Lord, would you help us in that? Remind us, Spirit of Truth. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as we're here this afternoon, Lord, would you just come gently and search our hearts, Lord. And Lord, as we come to communion, Lord, we just thank you that we get to receive your forgiveness again as we say sorry for things that we are aware of and declare with great joy that today is a new day in you, that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But Lord, that you're always lifting our gaze to see you, and today is a new day to live fully in you. So Lord, we come, Lord, we want to behold you, Lord, to know you and to love you. And as we do, Lord, we know your promise that we are being constantly transformed from the inside out, that truly we become more and more of what we behold. And so, Lord, as we move into some more worship of you, Lord, we invite you in, Lord, to continue that process of renewal in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This next song has lots of identity statements to declare of yourself and truth, that what Jesus has bought for you and that you can claim it.